in present science speeches. But I have to speak it here. My great honor and pleasure to be with all of you. Special gratitude to my God sisters and God brothers who are so many assembled, who have given their lives, their hearts, their souls to make it possible for us to be together here this evening. It is an almost irresistible human tendency to take things for granted. Often we cannot appreciate people until they die. And even then, it doesn't last very long. But the reality is, we have these wonderful opportunities to be together, to hear about Krishna, to chant, to worship the deities in such beautiful places, because under the inspiration of this divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, these devotees sacrifice their lives. And when there was nothing except inspiration, faith, and surrender, and those acts of devotion are very foundational for all of us, for future generations. Today is a very special day. It is the conclusion of this year's month of Kartik, Kartik Purnima. In fact, at this moment, at Govardhan Hill, there's the largest crowd practically of the whole year of Vrijavasis doing parikrama of Govardhan Hill. More than Govardhan Puja, hundreds and thousands perform the circumambulation of Govardhan Hill on Kartik Purnima. And they do it all day and all night. Entire villages come for that purpose. In the month of Kartik, which is the holiest of all months, it begins with Sarat Purnima, the day of Krishna's Rasa Lila, where he stands under the Bamsiba tree under the full moonlight and he plays his flute to attract the hearts of the gopis of Sri Vrajbhumi. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recognized that the surrender of gopis were of the highest level of selfless service. For Krishna's pleasure, when they heard his flute, they literally abandoned everything and everyone for Krishna. And Krishna reciprocated. In fact, Krishna told on that night that even in an entire lifetime of Brahma, with all that I possess, I cannot repay you for your love. It is so pure. It is so selfless. I can only ask you to be satisfied with your own good deeds, with your own devotion. And it was on that night of Sarat Purnima in Srimad Bhagavatam, the very crescendo of all Vedic literatures, when the supreme love of Sri Radha was manifest to the lips of Sri Sukadeva Goswami. The month of Kartik is also Diwali, the day that Yashoda Mai bound Krishna with the rope of her love. A beautiful pastime that celebrates how Krishna is conquered by the love of his devotee. And every evening during this month, we celebrate by reading the prayers of Satyavrat Muni from Damodarastra, which reveals the intimacy of the personal nature of bhakti. Satyavrat Muni prays, he does not want any material benefits. He doesn't even want liberation from suffering, moksha. He only wants that this beautiful pastime of Lord Damodar can be enacted within his heart. And what is that pastime? May I tell it? I'll try to be brief. On the day of Diwali, Yashoda Mai, she could see how Krishna was always stealing bhajan from other gopis' houses. They would come and complain. So she wanted to put her own love, the best possible bhajan. Nanda Maharaj had 900,000 cows. And the best of those cows, she kept in a separate place. And she personally grew this grass. It was such a fragrant grass, it smelled like lotus flowers. And she would water the grass with the best milk of the best cows. And there was just a few cows that had milk that was so intoxicatingly sweet. And she was churning the yogurt, the dahi, from that cow, those cows. And it was early morning, Krishna was sleeping. And as she was churning the yogurt, she was thinking that in order to satisfy Krishna, I will put all my motherly love into this offering. She was thinking of Krishna, singing beautiful songs about Krishna. And as she was doing so, her motherly affection became so uncontrollably ecstatic that milk was pouring from her body. And Krishna was hungry for that milk. So he got up from his little bed and he ran over and stopped his mother by holding and churning on his milk, indicating that he wanted to drink her milk. So he climbed on her lap and she embraced him and fed him. He was very happy. But by divine arrangement, that same Padmaganda special milk she was cooking for Krishna, some sweets, and it was overflowing over the fire. So she put Krishna down to protect the milk. And Krishna wanted to teach us in this wonderful story that we should not put pleasing him second to anything else in life. As we surrender to Krishna, he will reciprocate accordingly. If we keep samsadhir haritosha, pleasing Krishna, as the focus of the priority of our life, Krishna will reveal himself to us and make us a priority. If we put anything in front of Krishna, then we will not realize Krishna. This is bhakti. Whatever situation may come in our life, there may be dangers, there may be temptations, there may be fears, there may be obligations, there may be pressures. But somehow or other, our priority, our focus is what will please Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. Of course, Yashoda Maya was only saving milk for Krishna. Krishna wanted to teach us. So as she went away, he took the stone that was used for grinding spices and he broke the clay pot that the yogurt was in. And he started eating it. And then he left that place. And he went where there was butter hanging from a rafter, and he took a wooden grinding mortar and he climbed up on it and he started eating that butter. This is a small child. And his friends, he called his friends, the goldfish, and was feeding them that butter. And he was feeding the monkeys the butter. He was really happy. Monkeys were really happy. And Yashoda Maya came back to the place and she saw the pot was broken, the yogurt was there, the butter was gone, and she followed Krishna, the little butter footprints of Krishna, to where he was on the grinding mortar. And he looked very fearful. He was very happily feeding monkeys and gopas. He was looking this way and that way to make sure Yashoda Maya wasn't. And she had a little stick just to scare Krishna so he would behave properly. And when she started approaching Krishna from behind, the monkeys started running. They were afraid of Yashoda Maya. They started running in all directions and jumping out. And Krishna jumped off the grinding mortar and he saw his mother and ran. And Yashoda Maya was running after him, and he was running, and she was running, and he was running, and she was running, and he was running. You cannot catch the absolute truth. He's faster than the speed of wind. He's faster than the speed of mind. But because Yashoda Maya just wanted to protect him with her motherly love, he agreed to be caught. And she gently held him by his hand. And he started to cry. And we read from Satyavrata, only in Damodarasva, his lips were quivering. His limbs were trembling. Tears were falling from his eyes and mixing with the kajal, the black ornaments, and dripping down his face and his whole body. Queen Kunti remembers this scene in her prayers. Krishna, who is feared by fear personified, is afraid of Mother Yashoda. In Kurukshetra, there was Bhishma, there was Drona, the biggest, most, what to speak of, Dwarka, there was Jarasandha, and there was Salva, and there was, when he was just a little boy, Kamsa, and Putana, and Amistasura, and Agasura, Vatsasura, Bakasura, Shishupal, Dantavakra, most powerful mystic demons who single-handedly could conquer armies. Krishna showed no fear. And Vrindavan, how he killed the demons was so sweet. He never used a single weapon. In Dwarka, he used weapons. But in Vrindavan, Sasura, let's just take one example. What kind of person was he? He was a mystic yogi. Very cruel, evil. He assumed the form of a bull. His hump was higher than the clouds. He was burning with envy, anger, and a violent intent charging into Vrindavan. His hooves caused earthquakes. All pregnant women were having miscarriages. The little Krishna is only about 10 years old. He's just standing there with his arm on one of his friends, holding a lotus flower, waiting for a mistress to worry about. No fear. And then he just effortlessly just grabbed him by the horns and threw him down and kicked him. He was dead. And Putana, she grew herself to be 12 miles long. And Krishna's just about 1 or 2 days old. And he's totally fearless. Trinavart, he was just a baby, took him high in the sky, this Rakshasa. No fear, he's squeezed his neck and made himself heavy. But he's trembling in fear of Mother Yashoda. Please put down that stick. So she threw the stick. And Krishna confessed. He said, yes, I stole the butter, but please... please be kind to me. So she had other chores, and just for his protection, she decided to tie him up with very nice silken rope that's used for the calves. But she was like his calf. But when she went to put the rope around, it was 2 fingers too small. So she tied more rope to the original rope and put that around his waist. It was 2 fingers too small. And she put more rope, and she was tying more and more until all the rope of her house. And then neighboring gopis started bringing all their rope. There's huge amounts of rope. And it was all being tied together. The rope was getting longer and longer and longer. And it's not that Krishna's waist was growing. And even if there was so many kilometers of rope, it doesn't matter how much, it was always 2 fingers too short. And the gopi said to Yashoda Mahi that there's no use. It's not Krishna's destiny to be tied today. And Yashoda Mahi said, no, I'm his mother and I must protect him. And besides that, I want to see how much rope it takes to go around the waist of my son. So she was perspiring and the hairs that were on her beautiful hair was falling to the ground and her sari was becoming loosened. And Krishna saw her incredible efforts and her motherly love to protect him. It was at that historical moment Krishna allowed himself to be bound by the rope of the love of Yashoda Mahi. Krishna was conquered by the love of his friend. Then she went to perform her seva for Krishna. And Krishna's friends were there. They were kind of feeling sorry for him. And he was telling jokes with them just to make them feel nice. And he was thinking, now I will do some more mischief. More than ever. So he saw those 2 trees. And he understood that 100 celestial years before, Narada Muni, he blessed the 2 sons of Kubera, Nala Kubera and Mani Rila, with a curse. because they were so beautiful, handsome. They had so much money. They were the sons of the treasurer of the demigods. They were incredibly brilliant in their intelligence. And like Kunti Devi warns us that too much beauty, too much wealth, too much knowledge, too much fame can make one arrogant. In that arrogance, you cannot respect others. You cannot be grateful for God's grace. And you inevitably make offenses. And you cannot helplessly cry out the holy name. Akin to the Gotra. Krishna is the property of those who are impoverished. That doesn't mean you don't have anything. That means you understand everything belongs to Krishna and you use it accordingly. And you're humble. For a devotee, the more a devotee gets, the more humble one it becomes, because it understands, I don't deserve to Krishna's entrusting it to me. Amani na manadena. It means it with respect, not with arrogance. So now a devotee came by, and they were very intoxicated, and they were with beautiful young girls bathing naked in a little lake. And they didn't even recognize. They didn't even acknowledge him. So he made them trees. But it was with compassion. After 100 celestial years, they would get to see Krishna's pastimes. Could you imagine? They had the same conscious awareness as they did as most opulent demigods. But they were in the bodies of trees. But they couldn't move, they couldn't speak, they couldn't do anything. But after a while, they got real humble. And then they saw Krishna's pastimes. They were very receptive. So Krishna pulled the grinding mortar between the trees and massive trees. They were to the sky, these trees. Such an incredible sound. Everybody in Braj Bhumi was shocked. They came in. Meanwhile, Madhukrivan, Nalukubara, they came out with their divine bodies and they surrendered to Krishna. And Krishna blessed them. And they were great pure devotees at that time. When Nanda Maharaj came, he saw these two enormous trees, bigger than any trees in the world today. They both were fallen down on either side of little baby Krishna, and there's hardly any space between Krishna and the trees on both sides. How dangerous. Krishna's smiling and joking with his friends. And then when Nanda Maharaj came, he started to cry. He was pretending to be afraid and everything. And Nanda Maharaj knew everything. Yashoda Mai, after the trees fell, she was horrified. But still he asked, "Who tied you up like this?" And Krishna said, "My mother." So Nanda Maharaj untied. And he was asking, "How did this happen?" And the little boy said, "We saw what happened. Krishna, little baby Krishna, he pulled the grinding mortar because he showed him how he tied him to it, and he went between the trees and he pulled and the trees fell out and he's too beautiful people came out of the trees and then they went into the sky and they surrendered to little Krishna." Nobody believed that. But Yashoda Mai was so heartbroken. In the Gopal Champu by Jiva Goswami, it describes this aspect of the story. She was brokenhearted. Look what I did to Krishna. I tied him up and he almost got crushed by these trees, and he must be so angry with me. Ananda Maharaj, he brought little Krishna to where Balaram was, and they went to take bath in the Yamuna, and they went to take lunch, and then they went to see the cows, and Ananda Maharaj arranged fresh milk from the cows to be given to Krishna. It's a special sweetener that he put in. And then they went back for dinner, and Rohini Devi, she came and said, Yashoda Mai, she is in so much anguish what she did to Krishna, tying him up like this. All day she hasn't eaten a single morsel of food, she hasn't drunk a drop of water. She's just crying. She's dying of guilt. Look what she did to Krishna. Krishna's so upset with her. And Nanda Maharaj asked Krishna, would you like to go to your mother? And Krishna said, no. I will stay with you. The gopis were there. They said, Krishna, you don't go to your mother. Who will give you milk? And he said, my father will give you milk from the cows. Who will you play with? I'll play with Balaram and my father. And when Yashoda Mai was hearing these words from Krishna, it was getting worse and worse. And then Rohini Devi said, Krishna, your mother is dying in separation. I don't know what will happen if we don't go to see her. And Nanda Maharaj repeated these words. And when Krishna heard that, he jumped out of the lap of Nanda Maharaj and ran to his mother, crying, Mother, 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 Atta. And Yashoda Mai ran toward Krishna, Gopal. He got on her lap, and she fed him her milk. That took place on Diwali. And a few days after that is Govardhan Puja. And Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill. What a beautiful story. One of the most celebrated pastimes. Indra's his devotee. He has tremendous responsibilities within the universe. And Krishna detected too much pride in his devotee, Indra. So he arranged all the puja that was meant for Indra to be given to the cows, the Brahmins, and Govardhan Hill. Imagine what an insult Indra thought that was. For generations, this is all going to him, and now little talkative Krishna, he's 7 years old, he convinces them to offer to a mountain. But when they offered it, just according to Krishna's instructions, Krishna manifested on top of Govardhan Hill in an enormous form, and he ate all these mountains and mountains. The mountains were over 2 miles of gigantic mountains of boga or food, and he ate it all. And then Anior, he said, give me more. They didn't have anything else. They offered a tulsi leaf. And then all the prasad came back. And they had a big feast and they circumambulated Govardhan Hill. And Indra was very upset. He sent torrential rainstorms that are meant specifically for the devastation of the universe. And the devotees put the cows in front and said, "Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Mahabharata." Indra's very angry. "And look, your cows are really suffering. Please help us." Krishna smilingly lifted Govardhan Hill, 7 years old, as effortlessly as a child lifts a mushroom, and held it in his left hand for 7 days and 7 nights. And the most beautiful festival happened underneath Govardhan Hill. All the gopas, gopis of all ages, the cows, and peacocks and bulls and birds, everyone had the darshan of Giridhari day and night for 7 days. And through his words and his glances, he reciprocated everyone's love fully. 7 days and 7 nights. And in those 7 days and 7 nights, despite sending the most powerful hurricanes in the history of the world, and the most massive rains, it wasn't raining drops, it was raining pillars of water. Because the little finger of Krishna was touching the bottom of Govardhan Hill, Govardhan was so energized. They're so happy, just feeling Krishna's touch. And in 7 days, Indra could not separate a single leaf from the limitless trees of Giriraj. He could not uproot a single blade of grass. So he was quite humbled. And ultimately, he went to Brihaspati, he went to Brahma, and they told him, only one who is pure to the Lord can beg forgiveness on your behalf. So the King of Heaven approached Sarati, a simple mother cow. And she came and said, "Krishna, please, Indra really wants to be forgiven." And on the basis of Sarati's affectionate, merciful appeal, Krishna forgave Indra. And it was a beautiful Abhishekam where all the demigods came to establish Krishna as Govinda, who is the Lord of the universe, and especially the Lord of the cows. Gopāstami is in Kartik. Krishna took care of calves, and on the day of Gopāstami, Nanda Maharaj, Upananda, Abhinanda, Sunanda, Nandan, all the brothers, they gave Krishna and Balaram charge of the cows on this special day. It's a glorious festival. And there are so many other holy days. In Kartik is the appearance day of Radha Kund and Shama Kund. Disappearance day of Narottam Das Thakur and so many other great acharyas. Today, Kartik Purnima, Krishna has Rasleela with gopis and Sri Radha. But I'd like to speak about a very, very special feature that in our lifetime we will never see again, which is happening at this moment today. I'm sure you all know about it, but I'd like to see something. Kartik Purnima is the 500th anniversary of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entering Vrindavan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is on this world for 48 years. And in those 48 years, he only stayed in Vrindavan 2 months. Now, just to build up the excitement and anticipation of how important this day is, when Lord Chaitanya accepted first initiation, or when he accepted Diksha from Ishwarapuri in Gaya, that's when he began to manifest his Radha Bhav, the ecstasies of Krishna in the loving Mahabhav sentiments of Sri Radha. He was weeping, he was crying in separation for Krishna. And from Gaya itself, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at night, when nobody was around, he ran out of his room to Vrindavan. He was rushing to Sri Vrindavan down. And then the devas, they spoke to him. That your mission, we have come just to remind you, my lord, that you have descended to establish the Harinam Sankirtan movement in Navadvip, so please go back and do that and come to Vrindavan later. So out of his compassion for all living beings and all of us, he restrained from going to Vrindavan down. He went back to Mathur, which is actually not different than Vrindavan now. And there he established the Harinam Sankirtan. Later, in order to expand Harinam Sankirtan more, he decided to take sannyas. He went to Katva and accepted sannyas from Kesha Bharati Maharaj. After that incredibly heartbreaking haircutting ceremony, he was taking his bath in the Ganga. He was given a danda, he was given a name, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, and the sannyas mantra. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to chant and dance, and everyone was dancing with him in the whole of Katva, and then he proclaimed, "I'm going to Vrindavan now." And everybody said, "We're going with you." And he also dancing to Vrindavan in the forest. And Lord Chaitanya sent Kesha Bharati and everybody except his person, Nityananda Prabhu, Chandrasekhar, and a couple others. Nityananda Prabhu understood that the devotees in Navadvip and Shantipur were dying in separation from Chaitanya. After he took sannyas, he would never see them again. So he told the little cowherd boy, if this sannyasi asks for directions to the Yamuna, give him directions to the Ganga. So that happened. Lord Chaitanya saw the Ganga and thought it was the Yamuna, and he started bathing and everything, and then he saw Advaita in a boat with dry clothes. Nityananda Prabhu and Chandrasekhar, trying to sand it all out. Lord Chaitanya said, "Advaita, what are you doing in the Yamuna and Vrindavan?" He said, No, this is the Ganga and Shantipur." And Sachi Mata was there. Lord Chaitanya was longing for Vrindavan. But Sachi Devi and the devotees prayed to him. The same Krishna that lives in Vrindavan, lives in Puri, is Jagannath. And it's close. We will hear your beautiful pastimes, and sometimes we'll get to see you. So go to Puri. So for the pleasure of his devotees, conquered by his mother, just like Yashoda Mai bound Krishna with the rope of the love, Sachi Matari is Yashoda, Rajendra Nandana Jai, Sachi Shuta Hoilo Jai, Krishna Mahaprabhu, she bound him with the rope of her love and he went to Puri. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's special feature, there's a yuga avatar that comes every Kali Yuga, and he teaches Harinam Sankirtan, but only once in a day of Brahma does Krishna personally appear in the Dwapara Yuga to perform his Vrindavan Devas. And only once in a day of Brahma, following Krishna's anthem, does Krishna come in the mood of Sri Radha as Lord Chaitanya. And he's not only teaching Harinam Sankirtan, the Yuga Avatar is included with him, but he's Krishna who comes to taste the sweetness of Sri Radha's love, and through Kirtan, once in a day of Brahma, Lord Chaitanya gives his followers the sweetness of Sri Radha's love. Entrance into the personal Vrindavan pastimes to Harina. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was living in Puri, Kaviraj Goswami says, the thought of Vrindavan would increase his ecstatic love. And when he was on his way to Vrindavan, that ecstatic love increased hundreds of times. The devotees were trying to prevent him from going to Vrindavan, because he had already been to South India for 2 years, and then he wanted to go to Vrindavan. So Ramananda Rai and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and King Prataparudra were making all sorts of strategies to keep him in Puri, because he would not leave without the blessings of his devotees. I want to go to Vrindavan, please give me your blessings. They would say, you are the independent Supreme Personality of Godhead. You don't need our blessings, but Dalayatra's coming, so please stay for that. And they'd say, the monsoon rains are coming, so you should stay till the end of that. And they would say, you've done Mastami and Govardhan Puja coming, you should stay for that. And Dalayatra's coming, you should stay for that. 2 years passed. And Lord Chaitanya wanted to go to Vrindavan so much. He was very unhappy. He said, you are keeping me from going. So they felt really bad. They said, all right, you can go, but we're all going with you. So then he started going, and thousands of devotees were going with him. And King Prataparudra was arranging, as long as they were in his kingdom, he was arranging with all of his treasury for accommodations and feasts, a wonderful prasad, wherever the devotees stopped. And he had special boats for everybody, for every river. That was his devotion. And ultimately, they met Rupan Sanatan Goswami and Ramakeli. And we're running out of time, and I'm just starting a class, so I'm going to fast forward. They said, Rupan Sanatan said they surrendered to him. That was a historical meeting with the most profound humility. And then they told him that you're going to Vrindavan with hundreds and thousands of people. I was just there with 5,000 or 6,000 people. Can you imagine hundreds and thousands of people? He said, you'll be much happier if you go alone or with one or two others. So he turned back to glory. And then he left again soon after with Balabhadra Bhattacharya and one assistant. He traveled through Jarikanda forest, and in his ecstasy of going to Vrindavan, he had the tigers and the deers, who are natural enemies, embrace each other as loving brothers and sisters and brothers and brothers and sisters and sisters. They forgot their bodies. Through Harinam Kirtan and through Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's causeless mercy, all the enmity and fear of all of the animals in the forest completely disappeared in the sunlight of praying ecstatic love for Krishna. To the tigers, the deers, the snakes, the elephants, the insects, the trees, the creepers, the bushes, the weeds, everyone in that forest got prema bhakti. Their souls were liberated, the highest. And he came to Varanasi, and he met Tapan Mishra, Bhakunath Bhat Goswami's little son, Chandrasekhar. And he stayed there for 10 days on their request. Then he went to Prayag and then continued journey to Mathura. And on the full moon day today, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finally arrived in Vrindavan Tower. One of the most historical days in the history of the universe. And today is the 500th anniversary of that experience. Kaviraj Goswami said, my Lord Chaitanya entered Mathura, his ecstasies of love of God increased 1,000 times. And when he was wandering through the 12 forests of Vrindavan, that ecstasy of love increased hundreds and hundreds and thousands of times. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami describes when he was in the forest, all the animals felt their best friend has come home. The cows, herds of cows were gathering around him in circles. They were licking him, smelling him, and he was caressing them. And as he was walking, they all followed him. And then the deers were going in little circles around him, and they were licking him and caressing, and he was petting them. And the bees were singing beautiful songs for him. The peacocks were dancing for him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Krishna in the mood of Sri Radha. Souls of Vrindavan. He wandered through the 12 forests. Sometimes he stayed at a Kurur Ghat. He would sit and bathe at Chir Ghat, at Keshi Ghat. He would sit and chant the holy names and love of separation at Indital. And after 2 months, Balabhadra Bhattacharya explained to Lord Chaitanya how much difficulty he was having. Because everyone was inviting Lord Chaitanya, and Balabhadra Bhattacharya had to manage his schedule, and everyone thought that he was not being impartial. It's very difficult managing schedules. So people are, you want him for lunch? If you agree to one, and hundreds of others say, why not me? Why him? And a bunch of giants say, I don't know what to do. There's hundreds of invitations. If you go to one, everybody else. And not only that, Lord Chaitanya, every time he'd see the river Yamuna, he'd go in ecstasy and fall unconscious and go under water, and they'd have to find him and take him out. So he said, let's go. For the pleasure of his devotee, he was willing to leave Vrindavan. In the month of Magh, he left. He went to Prayag. And there he met Rupa Goswami and instructed him in the science of Krishna consciousness for 10 days. And from there he went to Varanasi. And there he delivered Prakashananda Saraswati and all the Mayavadis. And there he instructed Sanatana Goswami for 2 months. And sent him and Rupa Goswami to Vrindavan. Five 500 years ago today, Lord Chaitanya came to Vrindavan. And 50 years ago, this year, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, departed from Vrindavan. The age of 69 to go to Mumbai to beg for a ticket on a cargo ship. 50 years ago this year, Srila Prabhupada boarded the Jalajuta, a very old time beaten ship. And 40 rupees. And he made that great voyage across many oceans and seas, several continents. He endured seasickness, heart attacks. He came off the boat practically nothing. A little later, he was living in the New York City in a tiny room without windows, without a sink, without a toilet. He was typing away at his manuscripts. He wrote to some of his godbrothers, please help. But they wrote back and said, it's really nice what you're doing, but we can't help. He wrote to so many other people. Finally, he got a lead. One Mr. Singhani was willing to send some money, but he needed permission from the government. And the president of India was, knew him. He was going to help. That was the only light. He was going to help. And then the president of India went to Moscow and he died. Not the president, the prime minister, Mr. Shastri. He died in Moscow, which exterminated any hopes of Prabhupada's. So just with people that he was preaching to, he had to do everything. And before he had any followers, they broke into that little room and stole his typewriter and his whole manuscript of Bhagavad Gita, which he worked years on. And he said, I guess I'll just start over again. That was Prabhupada's determination. Five 500 years ago, Lord Chaitanya instructed Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, who put Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings in books. And 50 years ago, Srila Prabhupada came with that message. that tonight we have Guru Das Prabhu and Shyam Sundar Prabhu and Dhananjaya Prabhu and so many others who are right there from the very beginning to be helping Srila Prabhupada in that great mission. It's a very auspicious full moon.